Hi, I'm Nancy Dufresne. Welcome to our podcast channel. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Thank you, Lord. Praise Him. Good morning, everybody. So good to be here. So good to be here. You can be seated for now, and thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. We are deeply honored to be here, and I suspect it will always be that way. I mean, it always feels like, man, God, you've been way too good to us, letting us be part of these. But we also rejoice in His plan, and thank God it is an easy plan. You know what's not easy? It's not easy to succeed if you're not connected right to the right people. If you're not connected to the church and pastor you're supposed to be with, that's not easy. But we do rejoice in what is easy. Yes. Praise God. Yes. In these morning meetings, it's the direction of the Lord that we, at least in a general sense, go the direction of prayer, where we minister on the subject of prayer. Well, that's a convenient thing because it's such a broad subject, such a big subject, and really, it's a major emphasis in the New Testament, and takes for your individual life takes up about a good portion of your spiritual life, doesn't it? I mean, if you're not reading the Word and you're spiritually active, it's probably under that category of prayer. So, we enjoy that. Years ago, you know, I had the privilege to travel for 7 years with Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, and when he was having his Holy Ghost meetings, and I was in just about all of those. I was in the very first one. I will never forget sitting in January 1994 in North Miami Beach, Florida, at Words of Life Fellowship Church with Pastors Stan and Jerry Moore. And I will never forget sitting right on the end, on the second row. I don't know why I got such a good... I mean, of course, I was new to his group. The others were in the front row, so I really was a row behind, which was great. Fine. And I had never been in a service with Brother Hagin before. I'd never met Brother Hagin. I met him several meetings in. And listen, that was fine with me. But I was sitting there like the cat that stole the canary, you know what I mean? Like, I was sitting there grinning like somebody accidentally put me here. And I was not hired to travel with him. I was hired to stay at home and do the writing and arranging and rehearsing the group. Well, that kind of stuff didn't happen out on the road. They let me come to the first meeting because I grew up about 15 minutes away from there in Hollywood, Florida. And so my parents lived there, and they said, well, that's your hometown. You want to go? You can go. I said, well, yeah, I'd love to go. And I'm in that meeting, and a couple things happened in that meeting. I don't know, didn't plan to share any of this, but there's a whole lot I do that I don't plan to do. So. And if that absolves me of any guilt or responsibility, then that's why I say that. But anyhow, a couple things happened in that meeting. The most important thing that happened in that meeting when I was sitting there, Brother Hagin was standing like over there, and he made some statements that changed my life in that meeting. And one of the statements, because this was the first of these meetings, he said... The Lord had spoken to him and said these words, that there is a move of the Spirit that will be lost to this generation unless you teach him. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I mean, literally, when you say a move of the Spirit, it was foreign to me. I was a first-year Bible school student then. We had never been in a full gospel or charismatic setting consistently. So we'd never experienced what he was talking about. I had very little concept of what it is. But when he said those words, it was like somebody took a branding iron, and on the inside of me, I just had this sense of, this is why you're on the planet. And so over the next years, I got to learn a little bit, and I'm still learning about this thing. Because how many know that from the beginning of the book of the Bible, the first thing that it says in Genesis, in the beginning was the heavens and the earth, right? God created rather the heavens and the earth. And it says the Spirit of God moved. So It's everything in Christianity, everything in the plan of God is a combination of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so if you're ignorant of one of those, that's not good. That's not good. And so I have made it, tried to make it my life's pursuit to try to learn what he was talking about, because I had this sense that my assignment would be to help perpetuate what he was doing. And that's still the case. And so I said all that, I think, to say, the other thing that happened in those meetings, you want to know the other thing? The other thing that happened in those meetings is a little bit less heavy and a little bit more humorous. But my immediate boss was Craig Hagen, Brother Hagen's grandson. And Craig, I was out working the book. Be smart. If you get to go somewhere you're really not supposed to be, make yourself useful. You know what I'm saying? So I'm out there stocking. And they liked me at the tape table, because people would come up and say, what series did Brother Hagen tell this story on? And nobody knew, but I knew. I knew, and I'd say, that's on tape 3 in the Answer Prayer Obtainable Goals series, number 50, 56, whatever the numbers were. And so I'm out there like stocking the tables and stuff like that. And Brother Craig walks by, and he just kind of stops. And he looks over, and he said, you know, if you'll learn to drive the semi-truck, you could come on all these. Wow. And so I said, well, I know how to drive a semi-truck. Because how hard could it be? We're in the easy flow. Only 13 gears. I mean, well, how hard could that be? I had driven 5. What's 13? But the reason I said that, our time is precious here. I really got to be, I'll speed this along. But I mean, the reason I said that, because I had, before I went to Bible school, I had been on the road for 3 years with a Christian music group. We had a 45-foot tour bus and with a 53-foot trailer, a semi-rig, that all the equipment and then our clothes and everything else was in that semi. And we would oftentimes, every night we're in a different city, and sometimes you have to drive all night to get to the next place, you know. And so anytime you're on a night, all-night drive, somebody has to stay up with the driver. And we would do 2 hours. Now, the driver's supposed to be sleeping in the afternoon, right? While we're ministering and the service driver's supposed to be sleeping. And so we only had to do like 2 hour shifts, but I got the nasty shift. I got the 2 a.m. Now, Sister Cindy knows what we're talking about. I got the 2 to 4 shift. And we had names for that I won't repeat here. And Bubba was our driver. Bubba was about this high and same width. And Bubba, something had happened with one of the engines. And during the afternoon, he had to help get that repaired so we could drive that night. He didn't get to sleep like he wanted to. So he's struggling, and I'm over there, and he said, take the wheel for a second. I said, what? He said, just put your hands on the wheel. He had put the cruise control on. We're going down the highway, and he put the cruise control on. I held the wheel for him, and he jumps back into the sleeper berth. And he said, slide over. I said, Bubba. And I said, I don't know how to. He said, can you point it and keep it in between the lines? He said, I need like 15 minutes. And I said, yeah, I can point it. If I don't have to shift or anything, it's cruise control. So I'm over there, and you might think that's dangerous. That's how we would always switch drivers, Cindy. Is it true? That's how we would switch drivers on the bus. Just cruise control, one person out, other person in. Totally legal. It's easy. I guess we didn't get that all out last night, did we? We're going to apply that. So I did it for 15, 20 minutes, and then same thing. I scooched over. He jumped back in. He said, thank you. We made it. I know how to drive a semi. I didn't lie. I was experienced. Since that time, I got my CDL and actually learned how to shift, sort of. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, I said all of that because I was talking about being in those meetings where in the morning services, we would always emphasize the subject of prayer, and it was in those services as well as some other times that I began to learn. I still feel like I'm in the beginning stages of learning, but I began to learn just how, not just how vital, but what a place there is that every member of the body of Christ can participate in helping to propel the plan of God, taking their place in the things of God. And it's this place of prayer, because we not only was there teaching along the lines of prayer, but we actually got to pray in those meetings with Brother Hagin leading us. And so I learned so much, and it's just as vital today as it was those 94. This was that 30 years ago now that we were in those meetings, right? Because this is 24. Praise the Lord. And so we are real interested, aren't we? And if we're going to do this, let's do it effectively. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. Because one of the big things I've learned is everybody has a different concept of prayer, and everybody practices it differently based on where they're at spiritually. But not all prayer is effective prayer. Now, can I take you back to the semi-truck for a second? Bubba left after a while, and Steve came. Steve's in heaven now. Steve was bigger than Bubba, but taller and bigger. And I was going through, let's just say the fact that I made it to the altar and got married, and then this just made it, I was going through some rough years, dealing with some things that the enemy was trying to put on me. We've all been there probably. And anyhow, I start having a panic attack. I was on a shift keeping Steve awake. Steve never asked me to drive. I'm trying to help Steve stay awake, and I'm in the sleeper berth, and I start having like this panic attack, like, okay, my God, we're going to die right here, right now. You know, the devil just taking advantage of me. And I dealt with that for a number of years until I learned some things that helped me get free. Been so long since I've had anything like that I couldn't even tell you how many decades it's been. But God set me free from that. And so I said, Steve, I think I'm dying. Pray. How would you pray? How would you pray? You grab the horns of the altar. Come on, man. You take hold. And I'm telling you, the prayer that he came out with was about as good as blessing the food. You know what I mean? It's there was no heart. There was no connection. It was our most gracious Heavenly Father. Like, it was a total blessing my meal, but instead of saying bless this food, which he did a lot. he knew that prayer really good, man, because the boy could eat. And so I was like, thanks. And I'm like, I'll just die. If that's the best you can do. Well, that reminded me of, you know, how many ever heard stories of Smith Wigglesworth when he was in a place, and a bunch of them were trying to pray over this person who was at the point of death. And they're praying, oh Lord, help this person that's about to be bereaved. And Smith said, shut up. I mean, you just said, shut them all up. Said, my God, get out. Just leave the room if you're going to pray that way. So why did I say that? Because not all prayer is the same. Not all prayer is effective prayer. So having said all that, could you turn in your Bible this morning to the 5th chapter of James? Thank you. Here, I don't. 5th chapter of James. It seems to me we're going to spend some time in James this week. Yeah. And if we're going to spend some time, and by the way, hello, good to see everybody. if I know you, it's so good to see you again. And if I don't, it's good to meet you or be with you. And if you're not sure about me, you'll like me. You'll like me. And the better you know me, the more you like me. Isn't that right, Pastor Debbie? Yeah, thank you. So we're going to be okay with each other this week is what I'm saying. You ought to know who you're with. Let me talk to you about this guy, James, we're going to be with a little bit. Not everybody knows, this is not one of the 12 apostles, James. The James, there were actually two of the 12 named James. You know that, right? There was James, the brother of John, sons of Zebedee, the fishermen. That James was martyred very early on. He was the first of the 12 to be martyred. In Acts chapter 12, I believe, they killed him. Then there was also another one called James the Less, or we would probably just say Little James. He must have been shorter than the other one, Little James. That's not this either. This is James, the brother of the Lord, the brother of Jesus. Jesus, you know, had four brothers, and Jesus was the oldest. How do we know that? Now, I always get the Bible school students on that because they're like, well, I don't know. Born of a virgin. That's how we know Jesus was the oldest. But next oldest, if they listed them in order of their birth, would be James, the brother of the Lord. And you really have to stop and put yourself in this perspective here, because his brothers were so not on board with his ministry while he was on earth. Matter of fact, there was a time, if you read about it in John chapter 7, there was a time when the Jews wanted to kill Jesus. Not just one time, regularly. But it said Jesus wouldn't go through Judea because they were trying to kill him. And his brothers were trying to get him to go through Judea. He said, go on up. Go to the festival. You big stuff. You big shot. Let everybody see your works. Come on, go. And, you know, Jesus' dad died at some point. Now Jesus was, as they're all coming up, you know, he's the oldest brother. And you got to understand these dynamics. I mean, that had to hurt the Lord. It had to affect him. And his brothers were united against him. And the Bible just flat says they did not believe in him. They did not believe in him. But before the day of Pentecost, guess who were all in the upper room? All of his brothers. Every day in prayer. They were all there. And James actually becomes the leader, not one of the 12, but he becomes the leader of the church of Jerusalem. And his letter is considered an apostle because he saw the risen Lord. Jesus actually appeared to him privately. If you read in 1 Corinthians 15, when it lists the people that it says he appeared to the 12, and then he appeared to Peter, and then it says he appeared to James. And you just have to imagine what a shift this is from not believing to now realizing that you were speaking against him when he's on earth, when you could have been with him and helping him, and now he appears to you. And that appearance had to have absolutely rocked his world to where he's like, I will do anything. You just tell me. And Jesus obviously must have talked to him something about, I'm going to need you in leadership. And what history tells us about this guy, James, he had a couple nicknames. One of his nicknames was James the Just. Catholics would know that because it's popular. But he was James the Just or James the Righteous. He lived such a holy life. He was such a zealous Jew, which is probably one of the reasons he didn't get on board with everything Jesus was doing. And so he was so zealous and so righteous that he was called James the Just. He also had another nickname. They called him Old Camel Knees. Anybody ever heard that?
Yeah.
Old Camel Knees. Because, again, this is from historians. This isn't just in the Bible. But they said he spent so much time on his knees in prayer that his knees were all calloused. And they said it looked like the knees of a camel, I guess. And he would cry out for the salvation of his brethren, the Jews. And so he writes this letter. And this letter is not written to people he's ever ministered to, as far as we have any idea of. It's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Those are the Jews of the diaspora that whether through Babylonian exile or Persian exile, one of those, that they were not in Judea or Jerusalem where he was ministering. And his letter has this authority to it. He doesn't spend a lot of time, you know, like Paul's always like, hey, tell this one, hey. Tell this one, hey. Tell sister so-and-so I said hello. No. James is like, mm-mm-mm. And you need to know this one more thing about James. He was martyred horribly. James was so respected even among the unbelieving Jews that when they had a big Passover and everybody's there at the temple, that there was so much buzz going on around about Jesus, they actually asked James to go calm everybody down. You heard about this. And so they brought James up to the pinnacle of the temple. How many ever heard of the pinnacle of the temple? That's where the enemy took Jesus and said, cast yourself down from here. And so all the Jewish leaders said, James, you're the most respected among us. Tell these people to stop all this stuff about Jesus. And James said, well, Jesus, you're talking about the one who sits at the right hand of the Father and is soon to return. And they said, okay, we asked the wrong person. We asked the wrong person. And they took him there on the pinnacle of the temple because everybody could see him there, and they threw him down. They threw him down, and he did not die from the fall. So they stoned him, and he did not die from the stones. So a launderer that had a big laundry club came and just gave him one in the head and took him out. So when we read from James, you talking about somebody who paid something. You talking about somebody who, with the years that he had left, he lives so right. He lives, and he gave so much of his time to prayer that if he talks about prayer, which he does,
right,
we're gonna get this. So in James chapter 5 here, thank you, Master. I mean, James should have been one of these guys should be like Avengers. You know, they were so. Verse 13 says, I'm just going to blaze through some of this to get to the verse we want to talk about today. But it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So whichever one of those you are, there's still a way for you to make a connection, a connection to God. You need to make a connection and give expression to some things. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So much we'll say about this at another time. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I kind of like those words. You may be healed. The Bible says you can be healed. Well, the doctors are saying I can't. But the Bible says you may be healed. Yeah, but my symptom. But the Bible says, you may be healed. It's as easy as saying, but the Bible says. But the Bible says. You got to watch that word, but. Don't you? Because it's easy to get on the wrong side of it. And it's easy for this thought to come to you. I know what the Bible says, but the doctor says. I know what the Bible says, but I'm just feeling worse. You know what you got to do? Got to move your butt. Butt's in the wrong place. You got to get on the other side of the butt. Come on, turn to somebody and say, move your butt. No, dude, you don't say that. But the Bible says, you may be healed. And then this verse we would like to look at right here, or the remaining clause in this verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Most of us here have read it, and we will probably look at it in the Amplified at some point, where it says the effectual, fervent, or heartfelt prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, something along those lines. I haven't. Dynamic in its action. And we get to that, and we should get to that, because that is big for the times that we're in. This move of the Spirit that would be lost unless there needs to be power available that's made available through prayer. But I was, as I was preparing for these meetings, I had the Lord impress me, because I'd like to get into the goodies. You know what I mean? I like to get into the, yea, the deep things of God. the things that for so long, you know, traveling with Brother Hagin, I would hear him say, you know, there's things that I've been wanting to say to the body of Christ for years and years, and I haven't been able to say them, and I can't say them now. Anybody here remember hearing him say that? And we'd just be sitting there going like, well, just say it, bless God. I mean, say it now. Say it here. But we found out that he couldn't say it, because it's not a matter of what you know. It's a matter of what people can receive. And if they can't receive it, you got to back up and get them in a place to receive it. So there's some things I'd like to say to you today. But I believe my wife will say them tomorrow, all right? But I was very much led or impressed to talk about this thing, the prayer of a righteous man. The prayer of a righteous man. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, affects much. Not the prayer of any man. Huh? Because I'm going to know there's a lot of lost people that if things get bad enough, they will pray. And you know what they'll say? Well, there's nothing left to do now but pray. It's gotten so bad that we're going to have to talk to God. Who thought it would ever get that bad? That we'd have to talk to God before we see God. You know, you want to talk to God before you see God. If you ever want to see God, you're going to need to talk to God here. You know, they don't take walk-ins. You can't just walk up in heaven. You got to have a reservation. And the only place you can make a reservation for heaven is on earth. While you're on earth, got to have reservations. No walk-ins, no walk-ups. You got to talk to him here if you're ever going to see him there. So I don't know. Okay, praise the Lord. So there's people who aren't righteous. They will pray, but their prayers aren't effective. And then there's Christians. Listen to me now. There's Christians who pray, but not effectively. Listen, Steve got me nowhere. You remember Steve? Our most gracious, if you're going to start a prayer of deliverance with our most gracious, like, oh my God, somebody asked me to pray. Prayer. What have I heard? Oh, dinner. Dinner. Most recent thing I heard was dinner. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these thy bountiful gifts. Bless the hands that prepared them. That's honest to God. That's what he was praying. You know, bless the hands that prepared them, and I need devils to get off of me. And that's how you go to pray. And Steve was born again. And therefore, he was positionally righteous. But was walking in none of it. And he didn't have any boldness to approach God. He didn't have an ounce of confidence that what I needed, because I told Steve what I needed, I feel like I'm dying. I think I'm dying.
Yes. Yeah.
My heart's like racing and doing stuff and I'm not breathing.
Yeah.
Like hardly.
Yeah.
He didn't touch any of that.
No.
But can you?
Absolutely.
It said you may be healed. You can be healed. Yeah.
Right.
The prayer of a right, and right after it said that, it said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power of dynamic power, filled with, infused with the power of God. And so really, we need to back up a little bit and talk, I mean, our very approach to God has to be from a place and an understanding of our righteousness in God. Because there's a whole lot of people, come on, I might be looking at some of them here today, and you're certainly looking at a former one of them who, for, listen, years and years and years, I came so timidly, scared to ask, scared, and so much of it was because I was more conscious of who I was than who he was. And if we can just if we can just help all of us, and me included, along these lines today, just a little bit before we actually get to prayer, I just think it's the right thing. There's a couple other verses that we'd have you look at. There's actually a lot of verses we could look at. I'm thinking 2 Corinthians 5, if you go there. You doing well today?
Yes.
When we talk about righteousness, I want you to think of more than just right behavior.
Right.
I want you to also think of a right nature.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Not just right behavior, also a right nature. And because of a right nature, that would lead to right behavior.
Yes.
But it comes that way, not the other way.
Right.
And we understand that people have problems even approaching God, even Christians, even folk that received him, that are born again, because they're very aware of their shortcomings, their faults, their failures, how I've missed it. How I've missed it today. And they don't realize that so much of what goes through their head is the enemy accusing them of this and accusing them of that. And the whole purpose is to keep them from receiving from God. It just keeps them. If you can keep people at a distance from God, you can keep them from receiving. Right? How many know if the enemy could keep you out of this building today?
Right.
He could keep you from some things. Right? Praise the Lord. And so we have to really be established, meaning not just hearing it one time, but hearing it to the degree that it gets down on the inside of us, and it really changes our thinking regarding who we are. You have to understand that I had... when I came to Christ, I was raised Jewish, and I don't mean a Jewish Christian. I mean raised in Judaism, going to Hebrew school three times a week till I was 13, having my bar mitzvah ceremony. And then as soon as I was done with that, I was like, okay, God, enough of that.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I could recite a lot of stuff in Hebrew, you know, I can't hardly do it now, but you just, like, all these prayers would roll off your tongue because you just prayed them, you know, did them so much. But it meant nothing to me, and it didn't bring me any life, didn't impart life to my inner man, didn't satisfy me, answer my needs. And so when I got saved, I was so grateful that I experienced, like, the reality of God for the first time. But when I would get around other Christians, I kind of had this outsider mentality because, like, y'all grew up in this, you know. And I went from that to now I'm traveling in a Christian music group with people that were raised in this. And then I get to Brother Hagin's ministry, and it's even worse. They were all raised like in church, in these Pentecostal churches, and I like barely spoke in tongues, you know. And so I really, for a lot of years, had this outsider mentality, like, I'm glad to be here, but I really don't feel like I belong here. And I would be the last one that ever would get, you know, God would use anybody before he'd use me, and just all that kind of thinking, right? Well, what's that kind of thing do? It keeps you from partaking of what belongs, right? And it was just wrong thinking. How am I going to know if you're a son or a daughter? You have full sonship. You have a place. But I felt like a guest in God's house that really didn't belong. And that's not from anything that God did. Because how am I going to know that the Spirit that he gives us cries, Abba, Father, right? And I was just overcome with these other thoughts that, well, you know, I wasn't raised in this. I think about this. I just am on the outside. And so I stayed out. I stayed out. I didn't pull up a seat to the table because I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't meet Brother Hagin for several meetings because every time I saw him, I walked the other way. I was scared. I was scared. I was like, the prophet of God, he's going to know I don't really belong here. He's going to pick up on it and say, get that guy doesn't belong. Get him out of here. That's why I didn't meet him. I didn't want to. Amen. But you got to know who you are. And you got to act who you are. Are we getting anywhere today? You are welcome to, of course, interject. Not interrupt, interject. Praise the Lord. Talking to my wife. The one I call the greater one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you find 2 Corinthians? Second Corinthians 5, did you find it? All right, the 21st verse. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, this is speaking of an exchange that took place. Are you hearing me? Jesus was made. Jesus didn't just gradually start sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning until he said, I feel like a sinner now. No. Jesus never sinned. Never sinned, but he was made sin. How did that happen? Well, Isaiah said, upon him he laid the iniquities of us all. As the soul, when Jesus was paying the price, when he was being whipped, when the nails were going in the spirit realm, God was laying upon, with the strike of that whip, God was laying sickness and disease on Jesus. And with the pounding of those nails, God was in the spirit realm, was laying the sin of the world on Jesus. Not because he deserved it. He deserved none of it, because we deserved it. And Jesus became our substitute. He took our place and was made sin. Made sin. Not because he acted sinful. He didn't act sinful. He was made that way. He was made sin for us, that we, just in the same way that he was made, just in the same way that our sin was placed upon him, we were made righteous. We were made the righteousness of God. Not because we started getting good and then acted better and then it got better and then got to where, you know, I feel pretty godly. As he was made sin, so finger looking good. This is finger looking good, baby. Come on. KFC for everybody. Later, come on. As he was made sin, so we were made righteous. You might say, well, I don't feel it. I can't help that. I'm sorry. It's too late. Have you been born again? Because being born again, that means you received this. You received this. See now, turn to Romans chapter 5. Takes me about an hour to get warmed up, but then once I am, we can go. Come on now. Now, I want to say this as you're turning to Romans. There are some people that are like, I'm so overcome with guilt, so overcome with condemnation. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm sleeping with this person. Wait a second. There's another side to this. To this thing. In that case, you ought to be glad you're overcome with guilt. It's called conviction. And if you're sinning and you don't have any conviction, that's really bad. That means your conscience got seared from you ignoring it for so long. Now you don't even sense any right or wrong to it. And that's dangerous. That is such a dangerous place. But you might be shocked to hear that the answer is you got to stop the sin. I mean, you can't. You got to do that. It's easy. Stop doing it. What? What do you mean stop doing it? Yeah, you just stop. Stop. We had a guy in our church, past tense. You know, I do tell people, first of all, my wife is the leader of the church. Thank you, Jesus, because it's just best that way. But I do tell people, I said, listen, we will never share anything about your stuff as long as you're here. But once you leave, I'm no longer obligated to keep it. You are my sermon illustration. Anyhow, I was going to share about somebody, but I better not do that. Okay, so hallelujah. You can't persist in sin. Oh, yeah, so there was a guy... because I think he gone. So anyhow, I understand this, that when a person first comes to Christ, God's so gracious, God's so merciful, and you can't, if you're going down the road, we'll get back to the semi-truck, okay? If you're going down the road at 80 miles an hour in a truck, you can't just stop and turn around that thing in 2 seconds. I mean, it's going to take a little bit to slow ourselves down, find somewhere to turn it around. So, you know, he's living with a gal, and she's not interested in Jesus. And he said, you know, by the time he came to us, he said, we are in separate bedrooms and this and that. We are not active in any, way, really, and just, I don't even think we're going to keep dating and all that. I said, well, keep us posted. I said, that's a good first step. Yep. But really, ultimately, the living together is just not a good, it doesn't look right, you know, and we're just staying even from the appearance of evil. And so we talked, I didn't condemn him for that. I said, well, let's do what's right. But then it got to be, well, you know, she looks to me for support. You know, I support her. Well, you know, and actually he did end up doing the right thing. Just took a really long time to do it. But I said, listen, if she's not interested in the things of God, just drop her off on the side of the road. Maybe that's not just the best witness, you know what I mean? But yeah, there is a way. My point is, there is a way. There is a way. There's always a way. Huh? Well, I just can't stop doing the drug. Well, stop buying them, okay? So how, stop buying them. And the thing about it is we have been empowered as believers to resist sin, where the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. That means it doesn't ever have to win. Huh?
It doesn't ever have to win.
Doesn't ever have to win. You can go to the Cheesecake Factory and just wave to them all. Now, that might not be sin for you, right? There's some things that are okay for you that you may, I may not. I may not. And I loved that Cheesecake Factory cheesecake. The whipped cream. Inject it. Oh, man. But I haven't had a piece of it in so long that we went there the other day, and they don't even have my kind of cheesecake anymore. They got rid of it because Joel wasn't there. Amen. They got rid of the best one. Hallelujah. Stop it. Stop it. So you found, look at what time it's almost. Okay. Romans chapter 5, and we'll try to wrap this up. Glory to God. The 19th verse says, For as by one man's disobedience. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Adam. For as by one man's disobedience, many, look at it, were made sinners. So by the obedience of one. Who's that talking about?
Jesus,
who's called the last Adam. By the obedience of one shall many. Whew, I'm happy because I'm included in that. Shall many be made righteous. Made righteous. Now, in the Old Testament, even Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was, I mean, even before Abraham, the Bible says Abel was considered righteous, considered righteous, counted righteous, called righteous. That's what was available in the Old Testament. But now, because one was made sin for us, we're not just counted righteous. We're actually made righteous through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We've been recreated on the inside. We're in Christ. And if any man, help me, is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so there's part of you, your inner man has been recreated and is just like God. Amen. So much so that if you can real quick flip to 1 John 3, where we're going to conclude this homily. As they say. First John 3. Oh, isn't the word good?
Yes.
You want to know how to preach? Let the word do all the work. It makes it so easy. Make the word do the work. Oh, Jesus. Verse 7, 1 John 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. Let no devil deceive you. Don't let your thoughts deceive you. Don't let how you feel deceive you. Come on. Don't let what you said to that person that you, listen, if you repented to them, if you repented to God, you repented to them, if you confessed your sin, he is not unfaithful. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That we could say it this way, and to cleanse you back unto righteousness. And then, so don't be, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. I don't think enough people were reading along with me there. He that does righteousness. How many here we're going to do some righteousness? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Is righteous. How come? Been made that way? Been made that way? Is righteous even as or just as he is righteous. Jesus, how many know Jesus is righteous? Jesus Christ the righteous is one of his names. Jesus, as Jesus the righteous, he has a place at the right hand of God. As close as you can be. And we share his righteousness and we share his place and we share his access to the Father. Which is why later in the chapter, So what happens when you miss it and something on the inside of you starts to beat you up? Come on. Your heart condemns you, which is actually later in this chapter, right? Chapter 3, verse 21, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater. He's got a way to get you out. You confess your sins. Come on, he's faithful and just to forgive you. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Cleanses us back to righteousness. And so when you miss it and you repent, and which you, by the way, that's still a thing in 2024. And you repent and you confess, which confess just means to say the same thing. You agree with God that Father, you call this sin. I agree. I call it sin and I turn from it and I forsake it. And I know that sin shall not have dominion over me. I didn't have to do this. I don't have to ever do it again. I won't do it again because I'll reach for your grace next time. And I won't let my mouth just go and run and say those kind of things. And I won't fly off the handle. Amen. And I won't yield and I won't click on those things. And I won't, come on. You agree. You say, that's not who I am. I've been made righteous. I've been made righteous. And you overcome that. You kick that condemnation out. You don't allow the condemnation to stay. And because you do that, the next verse says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And what's the result of that confidence? And whatsoever we ask, we receive. Woo! Whatever we ask, we receive. And we're able to do what it says in Hebrews 4. We're able to come boldly, like we belong. Like God, when you designed that throne, you must have had me in mind, because I have as much right to be here as Jesus has a right to be here. Not based on my performance, based on His performance, and I just accept it. I receive it. I receive my forgiveness. I receive my cleansing. And then the next thought that comes to your head was, yeah, but this was the worst. And our job is to say, that, wait a second, that does not exist. It's been cleansed by the blood. And when God looks at me, He sees the blood. He does not see the sin that I confessed. It does not exist. It's been cleansed. It's been cleansed. It's been expunged. It's been obliterated. It does not exist. You know, you could get a record seal, a criminal record, you could get it sealed, and then you could get it unsealed to where the... No. Once it's under the blood, you can go to talk to God about it, and God will say, I don't know what you're talking about. So we just must honor what He's done for us. We must regard the blood as much as God regards it. We must see things like He sees it, and we'll realize, wait a second, there's nobody who has any more right to approach the throne of God than me. Does my mind understand that? Not hardly. Not hardly. I wasn't raised in this. Sometimes I don't feel like I belong. Sometimes I feel like, well, who cares how you feel? Who asked you how you feel? Tell me who you are. Tell me who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. It's worth shouting about. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He made me that way. He made me that way. He made Jesus sin. He made Jesus sick. Amen. He made me healed. He made me rich. He made me free. He made me righteous. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Hallelujah. 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 Woo, glory to God. Oh, it's so good. The word's so good. The word's so good. You remember Brother Ingalls? I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. You're the David Ingalls. What's the next word? I'm a partaker of His divine nature. To me, the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. It's a good song. Let's pray. We're going to boldly come and listen. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person. Someone not just who has been made righteous, but someone who knows their place of access and knows their right to a bold approach. Is security coming after me? Okay, it's those guys.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Listen, this is all about correct thinking. Correct thinking. We all have a filter. And I love what Pastor Nancy was saying last night. Well,
like all of it.
Like all of
every
it.
Every bit of it.
But one thing she was talking, I believe, in the offering about how one of the biggest hindrances to our prosperity is our past.
Yeah.
Because the way we've been raised and the way we've been raised to think a certain way. Oh, well, you can't, we can't have that. And so that when you get out into your Christianity and you get out into start seeing what the Word says about who you are and what you can have, when that Word comes forth, it has to go through that filter of your past. And the enemy has worked hard to make that. You know, you have different mesh filters, right, or sieves or whatever in your kitchen, right? And depending on what you're, you know, you might want to be pouring out. You've got coffee grounds in the coffee pot, so you want to pour that coffee through. Well, you need a real fine sieve to pull it. The enemy has worked hard to build a filter in you that is so tightly wound that the Word of God can't reach your inner man, can't get to your spirit. And that's what we're talking about. You've been made the righteous, but you have to meditate on these verses. Because as soon as the enemy sees you starting to approach the throne, you get a little glimmer of this, and you're like, oh, and as soon as you make that step, you hit your knees, the enemy's going to be there to say, oh, but not you. Oh, but you did this. Oh, but remember that. And you've got to be able to have these scriptures in you so strong that you can recognize, wait a second, that's the enemy. That's no longer there.
Yeah.
And understand that I am able because of what he's done. I am able. So we have got to be vigilant. I mean, like a dog with a bone. You can't let go of these scriptures and realize I have been made righteous.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
It's who I am.
I'm Joel the Just.
Joel the Just.
Who are you?
Amy the Righteous.
Amy the Righteous.
Joel
the Just.
Glory.
And whatever
glory.
Your name is.
Yes.
Let's pray some.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Father, mm-hmm. with what you've shown us today, by faith we believe it's so. We say it's so.
Yes.
And we come, Father, boldly. It seems inconceivable that we can, but we can.
But we can.
And we do.
Yes.
And so we approach you boldly.
Thank you, Father.
Look at where we are, Father. Look where you placed us.
Yes.
Look where
you
placed us.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
At the throne of impossibility.
Oh, my.
No impossibility, rather.
Impossibility.
At the place where everything is easy. We're there.
Yes.
We're there.
So
and so, Father,
thank you.
We want to come corporately today and just do our part in cooperation with the greatness and the grandness of your plan for our time.
Yes.
Whoa, glory to God. And so we thank you and say by faith, Father, we have the fullness of the flow that you've led us into.
Yes, Lord.
We have the fullness of the miraculous. And Father, I know what you showed me last night about the creative, the increase and the creative miracles. We thank you for the fullness of it. Thank you that we have it.
Yes.
Thank you that it's ours. Thank you that needs are met in dramatic fashion.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
Oh,
thank you for the great testimonies that will accrue to your glory.
Yes.
Thank you, Master.
Oh, we magnify.
And thank you for the amazing Holy Spirit you've given us to give us utterance. We boldly yield to him now and pray along these lines for a few moments. Shelly Torapala. man parasu, ke, and sila, and suda palisim. Oh, my, bigale, maraspole, nese, 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 tamaroba, tamarita, sinamora palakatifa.
A new place, a new place, arabakata. Oh, corporately, ambadota, dora, no brapa, ambadata, the realm of the righteous, the realm of the righteous, oh, babata, oro, masa, no, stoma, castela.
Steledico, dosi, gadi, moraban.
Gali, moraban, simile, tico, stesita. Sera, tutto, se, zola, mamstu, co, sola, canse, pom, spola, danse, che, cola, nanse, co, coloro, ste, po. Ah, mirando, mirando, curiva, calidino, mose, tagila, endila, gad, endila, gode, bisita, breva. Dolas, 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 yei.
Oh,
my, yeah,
the maimed made whole.
Yes,
the growth, limbs grow, limbs grow, limbs grow,
so easy, so easy, go, so easy,
Singana Madura Bebelica, said a lot, said an economic,
Machiba, Epreco, Blabazi, Nate, Gotta, Gotta,
De Cade, Say Gotta, De. So Konana, Pola Kasu God, Pola Bas, Ponane, Pola Khan, Sugodan, Sobalan, Pogodan, Tida Pakasi, Konan, Tuda Palakete, Roban, Zuda Paku, Dabarugan, Ha, Sila Pakoste, Konan, Ye Paulo Stokori, Tadinore, Tadinabon, Tilakade, Tiste de Mon, Stilitib, Stilitib, Stilitib. Stili take a little rad, Tiran, Tibarip, Tibrania, Tivola Kuspa, the cat, Tasti Rito, Lasti, Cadu, Tasti Rato Kusti, Tasti Rato Kuspa, Lita Molan, Dela Tubo, Dana Kille, De Krakolo, Tachiko Sailing, Dash de Sekatsuko, Dash de Sakati Palo, Dena. And down the toba, ha! Oh, my! Hey, Papa Kule, hey, Papa Kule, Telesora, 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 Kibe, Telesora, Kibe, Kalabot, Telesora, Tibi, Kasti, Sidonamarini, Lane, Latan, Lane, Say Lotan, Lane, Say Kodan, my, and the Rats, and the Maracos, and the Maracustile, and the Risula, Sirod, Sironoma. Sirona male che vedo cose engoli a tota engalatisto con la palla di saha talito co ha yay oh the kalashi vengo la palla stere tu ribad stere tu la bani stere co stevazze yay krakila kadisse karatisse kalado gene meriti gene mere mexico zedeco cude disse de Yeah, to tose ha. Yeah, the fogoles, the fogoles, the fogoles, the fogoles, si de, the fesola kedeme, the fesola kitana, se de brain, se de brain, se le bari, melekina, pastabada, achitatebo, achitatore pad, telat, telat, terepas, se le carino, otate, tacosto, latte, teste, cof, tan, sten, Stelle pesticato per la palla su codes. Stelle pagafri costesi te detto con le teste gheri.
Oh, rabata.
Ama si bandotto cozzi de che lezze per le cotte di
catne. The word having free course. Free course. Free course. Free course. Ambadoro. The word. The word. Spreading rapidly. Ambadoto. Oh, my, 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 my. Landing. Landing in the hearts of men.
Mama castigata da proposto tondo condannata da cada nostro seco genere cando la canso gola morone la cadeha zecato poco da mastico la bora manzeleha Se calane, turbo, no conamen, turbo, no la galera, la nene, in the frodo, la negale, costagale, and the derapo, no la edene, ha, no coro, so coro, mamma, no tassi, ho,
mana no koso go to mano mano to seek hey lega na nesu go to man se go dari ye ha ye kavolo ye kanjobo ye kastobo ye chandora stay in the bagode stay in the radolon stay in the ratiko stede stay in the randomolos stay in the rekala namos to go to best state of man benestinego ho 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 my chain my name my chain the rapan mistake on a name mistake on a balingo ha stay more apalaini a sugoli davane devale devale kara devale kane devale kane
devale kane devale kane devale kane
devale kane devale Divala kusi de jabara ti se koso chike sokora ha 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 ho 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 ha 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 ho 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 the hell yeah yes
divine access
oh yes
thank you
oh yes
thank you
oh yes 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 yes
Divine.
Oh, my. Hey, Paki for go to Bachi Rika, so good lads bed done the same. Profoco stack a taste of coats of nine. Sara go the nostril so combined, so cool, lie, pro combine, no man, so cry, froco stole. Hey, colan, so good on day. Lay on tree, pan on nose to silive. So bright, coupon bright, so cold price day. Lay nigh on don't bright, go say, drive, can't so go bright, they so go break. Lay cassy, they go dance and they grow go say, look at an immense, so good at the day, look at a night, ladies, so cold by. Oh, we praise, we praise. We praise, we praise, we praise, we praise.
Oh, yeah.
We praise.
Thank you.
We praise.
Thank you.
We praise, we praise, we praise, we praise.
Thank you for the
Let's lift our voice in praise.
Thank you.
Let's give thanks today. Because He's so gracious, so good.
Thank you.
So merciful, so true.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, there's nothing that He hasn't done and nothing that He wouldn't do. So good, so good, so good, so good, so good. We give You thanks. We worship You. We give You praise, for You are good. Bless You, 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 bless You. Praise, 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 praise. We lift our voice in praise. We lift our hearts in praise. We lift our hands in praise. We give You thanks today.
Thank You.
Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You.
Miracle God.
Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You. Thanks that You hear us. Thank You that You saved us. Thank You for Your rescue. Thank You for all that You do. Thank You that You're holy. Thank You that we're now worthy. We come before, we stay right here. Never have to leave or fear. Thank You for who You've made us, what You've done. Thank You for the great, 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 great things to come. Oh, thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We trust you've enjoyed this message. Visit us at DufresneMinistries.org to learn of our upcoming meetings, share your testimony, become a partner, or visit our online store. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Dufresne Ministries.